If there's one thing everyone can agree on, it's that finances can be confusing, especially when you're trying to make sure your career, family life, and everything in between is taken care of. Trust me, I'm right there with you. Whether you're a seasoned investor, a budgeting newbie, or just someone looking to supercharge your financial future in about 15 minutes, this is for you. If you're ready to make your money work harder for you, and if you're ready to spark true financial independence, then you've come to the right place. I'm Teresa Arago, and this is Talking Sense. Thank you for joining us today on Talking Sense. I have Lori Melton from First Community Bank joining me today. Lori has been in the banking industry for a minute.
Long time.
A few minutes. I won't rat her out and say how long, but she is here to share some wisdom from what she's learned in her extensive experience in banking so that we can share that wisdom with you. And today we're going to talk about fraud and things that you've seen in the banking industry and steps that people can take to avoid being caught up in it or to handle it if it does happen.
Well, I'm going to say instead of if it happens, when it happens, because it probably will happen to everyone. It even happens to us bankers, even when you follow all the rules, because your information is everywhere. Mm-hmm. So every time you use your card, write a check, everything, your information's out there. Yes. So even if you didn't use a card, you know, in the old days, we used to actually put our social security number on the checks.
Oh.
I mean,
I had to put my driver's license number down before, yes. But I couldn't imagine that.
Okay. Oh, and we would print them literally on there. And then that was a day that, you know, nothing was copied. Mm-hmm. So it was okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to talk about a few different things, and we're going to dive right in. The first one we talked about was online banking.
Right.
And what's interesting to me is I do have some clients who will say, well, I don't want to have online access because I'm concerned my information will get stolen. But it's out there. Like, we store it online.
That's right. It's stored everything. If you use your card, if you write a check, everything is out there somewhere. Mm-hmm. So the best way to prevent fraud is to have online banking so you can check it frequently. Mm-hmm. And I would suggest to everyone to check once or twice a week. Mm-hmm. I mean, to be honest, daily, but I know that sounds like overkill, but some people do that. Mm-hmm. And that way you catch it as soon as possible. Certainly your debit card mm-hmm. and your online banking, your checking account.
Because those are the ones where the risk is the kind of highest as far
right.
as the
that's
consequences.
That's your real money. That's real money that's gone instantly and can be completely drained in one day, if not caught. So, of course, you want to start with a strong password mm-hmm. protection on your bank account, on your online banking. I'd like to think everybody uses 12 characters mm-hmm. and some capitals, and some require you to. Mm-hmm. Most banks require you to change it often. Some do not.
I can tell you my bank does not because I've got several accounts, but one bank doesn't. Yes. One does, the one with First Community. But what's interesting to me, I went to a training with it was a bunch of advisors at this training. They were talking about fraud and they said the amount of time it takes to hack an account, if you have 8 or less, is like a couple of hours. You go up to 12 characters and you include uppercase, lowercase, and a special character and a number, and it's like 20 days all of a sudden. And most hackers just move on.
Right. Yes, they just don't bother with it. And you may think, oh my gosh, how could I ever remember that? Well, think of a phrase that about your life that no one else would know and mm-hmm. use that. And boom, 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 you've got it. Mm-hmm. And I would suggest also have it different than your Netflix code and different from your, you know, every other. You should use different passwords for mm-hmm. everything. And because if you use the same one, they hack Netflix, then boom, they have your bank account information too. So think about it in those terms.
And the other thing they said was the one email or the password you should secure the most is your email, because you can do a forgot password at other places. You can even request your username from a lot of places if you have the email address and password. So
that's right. That's your recovery system typically. And a lot of them also allow you now to do two-factor authorization. Mm-hmm. And I would recommend that because that'll bring in both your phone number and your email. And when you do those and you're able to text a code back, it really makes a difference.
Yes. I used to get really frustrated with it. You know, with everything we do here, we have two-factor authentication on all of our apps. And at first it used to drive me crazy until I started getting text messages that someone was trying to access one of my accounts. And I realized that was what kept them from getting in.
Exactly.
Is they could not get this. Someone had gotten a hold of my password and they couldn't get into my, I think it was my credit card.
Right.
Because of that. So I was very grateful for it at that point.
Yes.
So there's some tips for online. Let's talk about our debit card.
You know, it's one of those things where you say the plumber has clogged pipes. I'm going to tell you some things, and that doesn't mean I follow it myself 100% of the time.
Okay.
But number one is if you're buying online, use a credit card versus a debit card. It just, because that's not real money. And ultimately,
you got to pay it.
But it is not going to keep you from buying groceries tomorrow if, like it would be with your checking account. So someone can drain your checking account, drain your savings, all your instant cash.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, do you have, you know, lunch money to give your kid tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a quick run to the ATM. So it is very important to do that. And it just slows that process down of panic, one that you have, and just the disaster that it technically can be for you and your family.
And I've got some, you know, clients who say they don't like using credit cards, but what I've encouraged them to do is use the credit card for the online purchase, but have a weekly day that you just go ahead and pay it off. So if you struggle with debt and you're trying to really get out of that debt, but you need to make online purchases, use the credit card, pay it off the same day or pay it off the next day. You don't have to wait till the bill's due to make that payment.
That's right. You can make a payment anytime on your credit card.
Yes. So that's one way to manage it. You also talked about this earlier, but I want to go back to it, is checking your account 1 to 2 times per week to verify purchases are valid. I will say, I told you the story. I bought about 4 wigs before I realized that there was fraud on my account. And what happened was by the 3rd purchase, I went, those are getting kind of big, because my husband and I use the same charge account. And I just assumed it was him, never looked up the company. And then by the 4th one, I looked it up and I went, these are wigs for textured hair. And I was like, well, I know my husband wasn't ordering those. So,
well, I was about to say what's going on in your house, Teresa, but anyway, right? You're buying wigs. It can be the same for, I know in mine, it was Chick-fil-A.
Oh.
And I finally realized that it was Chick-fil-A in Memphis. And it was like, okay, I haven't been to Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a wake up call. And luckily they were really just using it at Chick-fil-A. It wasn't one of those things where they got a whole lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes though, fraudsters will do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they determine if your account is real. So they'll go do small purchases like that where they're not necessarily fleeced, or like if they took it to Lowe's and bought a washing machine.
Right.
They might be a little more conspicuous there, but a Chick-fil-A, and then you go.
Or Amazon.
Okay, or Amazon. Mm-hmm. Something small, you know, under $20. They verify that that account is real and that will work, and boom, then the bigger purchases start happening.
Yes, and that's what was happening with me too. So with your debit card, you know, you talked about avoiding online purchases. You also mentioned something about recurring expenses. So if you have something that you pay monthly,
that's right,
maybe don't use it.
That's right. So if, say, your Netflix account, if you can, if you have a credit card, use that. Because remember, your information is only as secure as Netflix. Now, Netflix says it's secure, and they do everything they can. And I'm not beating on Netflix, because it could be any company. But your information is only secure as their systems.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably don't know what their systems are. And that might be any business, you know. It has happened to almost every major retailer where information was captured.
Compromised.
It was compromised. And in the old days, you would immediately reissue a new credit or debit card for someone. We have methods around that now where we don't have to completely panic and do a, you know, sweeping replacement. But just keep that in mind, and that way they're there, and you can just depending on you.
Yeah.
Because probably you're not looking at your checking. I mean, you look at your checking account more often than your credit card statement.
Yes, I do. I pay more attention to it for sure.
Yeah, some people don't look at their credit card statement ever.
Well, and I mean, I've said really before, don't. If someone got a hold of my card and started making Amazon purchases, that's where I would probably miss it. But right. I have, since talking to you, I've started pulling like my transactions from there and just verifying it once a week.
Yes.
Because if I do it weekly, it's not overwhelming.
Exactly.
But we have a lot of things on auto delivery for our household. And so that was where I was like, oh, yeah, that would be the one that would get me.
Right.
So let's talk about, you know, if you become a victim, what can you do? What should you do? What can you expect? So starting
I'm
with...
I'm going to change you. When you become a victim.
Correct. When you become a victim. So first thing you've got to do is file that dispute as soon as possible.
As soon as possible. Most companies have the ability to capture information even in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can leave some sort of message. I would call, log on to your either online banking or your credit card mm-hmm. platform and send a message if it's after hours and mm-hmm. there's no one to actually take the call. But that is... very, 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 very important because mm-hmm. we can stop it immediately.
Yes. I had my purse stolen one time from a daycare parking lot. And the only reason I knew is because I had to go get gas. And so if I hadn't had to go to the gas station right away, they would have gotten a lot more out of my debit card than they did.
That's right. And just because you have the card in your possession doesn't mean they're not using your number. In most cases, when they take your information, they go actually make a card with that. Mm-hmm. So they're carrying a card around with their name on it, but mm-hmm. your number.
Ooh, they're getting more complicated. And then you did mention before to look at transactions leading up to the one that you caught.
Right.
Because it may be that there are others like there was with me. Once I caught that one, I went, wait a minute, how many of these have gone through?
That's right. So the first thing the bank is going to do is they're going to go over all your transactions over the last time period.
Mm-hmm.
It may be 2 weeks, it may be even a month, depending on how prevalent the fraud was mm-hmm. and the type of transactions they were doing. So you would go over, they're going to go, okay, is this trip to Walmart yours?
Mm-hmm.
Is this Chick-fil-A yours? Is this, you know, at the liquor store yours mm-hmm. or whatever?
And you need to go,
yeah, well, did I do that? Or could my husband have done that? Or mm-hmm. Did I give my kid my card at some point? So we know not to dispute items that were actually yours.
And you mentioned being cautious of giving your information to people. And this is something that was kind of one of those like aha moments for me when we were talking too, where, you know, there have been people that I needed to pay them for something and I'll just give them the card info.
Yeah.
And by doing that, I would have a harder time disputing charges, or I might have to file a police report.
Right. If you give that to them, then you have basically given them permission to use your account.
Mm-hmm.
So who's to say it's your word versus theirs on, yes. Oh, she gave me permission. She gave me this information. So be careful about that.
Yep. And then how long can someone expect to wait? If we're talking about a debit card, how long can someone expect to wait before the funds are refunded if they find the person was not negligent?
10 days. And that is the law. Some banks will do it quickly. It just depends
mm-hmm.
on the situation and the desperation also as well. But most banks will hold it the full 10 days because they're attempting to do enough investigation to keep it from happening again.
And then the other thing I felt like people needed to understand to remember in this is when it comes to your auto drafts. So say you did have a debit card or a credit card that you had auto drafts coming out of, it's better to be proactive, reach out to those vendors, change the payment information, or at least give them a heads up.
That's right. Communication is always key. Whether you are going to be late on something or something might bounce back, mm-hmm. if they understand it. And the relationship too, mm-hmm. it's one of those, not every vendor cares,
mm-hmm.
but if it's your local gym membership or if it's someone that you're really depending on, it's your lawn care service or mm-hmm. whatever it is, then please let them know. And they understand because again, it's happened to almost everyone.
Yes. And one of the things I love, I'll be honest, I am a customer of First Community Bank. And
thank you very much,
One of the things I love about it is I can come in and talk to a human being. I'm not having to call an 800 number when I do have a concern.
That's right.
So if you have a bank like that, it might be, you know, report it, but maybe go into the branch and have a conversation with them. And a little bit of bonus content. If you're going through a divorce, you mentioned this to me, your ex has all your info. I could literally spout off my ex-husband's social security number right now. So you may want to plan ahead for changing the things you can, changing passwords, things like that to protect yourself too. Even if they don't intentionally do something, that's right. Just another access point that they might have it written down somewhere. Someone might gain access to it.
So that's right. I mean, you file tax returns together mm-hmm. and you have a copy of that. Those tax returns, they're going to have it forever. So it's a whole other episode.
Yes, yes. So it's time for our 2 cents. This is kind of our final thoughts. I'm going to let you go first, Lori.
Okay, so 2 cents. Let's just go back and go use your credit card instead of debit on online purchases. Mm-hmm. Let's keep that fresh on everybody's mind. And I also realize that not everyone has that option. And there are ways to get a credit card if your credit is bad, and mm-hmm. call your bank and see what options that they have for you. But keep that information so private and check your account on a regular basis.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being here with me. If you enjoyed this content, I actually talked Lori into doing 3 episodes with me. So we've got 2 more episodes. We're going to be talking in our next episode about how to find the bank that's right for you, because just like your advisor, it needs to be a good fit for your unique needs. Thank you guys so much.
Thanks for listening to Talking Sense. And if you like what you hear, make sure and subscribe to the podcast to get all the newest episodes. The Jim Wolf team is available to you 24/7 at info@getreadyforthefuture.com or by calling our offices at 866-653-PLAN. That's 866-653-7526. And while we like to have fun here, we're also financial advisors, and that means disclosures. You should personally consult a financial advisor before making any investment, and no strategy can assure success. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advice offered through Independent Advisor Alliance. Independent Advisor Alliance and Jim Wolf Financial Advisors are separate entities from LPL Financial.